Welcome, everybody. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, along with Roger Bauer. We are together for what is today, 2 days before Thanksgiving, November 24th. And we get to talk about social media with gay dude Adam Lambert shocking the music awards. So we'll get to see what the social media world thinks about that, and we'll monitor his fall from graces, I bet you, in the coming months. So we'll see how he redeems himself. What do you think about that shocker, huh?
You know what? I hadn't even heard it, so inform me, my fair brother.
Raunchy performance at AMAs has Adam Lambert on defense. Golly. Well, looky there. Some boy dressed in leather throwing some other boy's face in his crotch, and people don't like it. Well, go figure. Who'd have thunk it?
How about that?
But anyway, we digress, huh? We're going to have to come up with a southern term for crotch, but not today.
That would be chili. That would be the southern term.
I believe I can find me a term like that, but it just so happens that today, believe is the word of the day. It's both a noun and a verb, and it's a demand for the Bombus ruderatus to vacate the immediate vicinity. Oh, no, I'm allergic. Believe me alone. Man, oh, man. How you like them apples?
Good apples.
All right. So what you got? What was that fancy? Oh, tweet trail. Is that what you said?
Yeah. That was the one from yesterday, sure.
All right, let's see what not too many tweets on Adam Lambert today.
That might be one to go straight to search.twitter.com and see what's going on there with that. I bet it's blowing up.
We'll look at the different sources. So so what you got for us today, brother?
Well, I'm looking at an article on social media today by Maggie McGarry, and this is from a couple days ago. Comcast and Twitter, how much is it really about customers? And she's got a whole article about how Comcast has gotten a lot of buzz about their use of Twitter and social media, but their customer service really hasn't improved. And she's making the point that even though they're getting a lot of positive buzz for the company, it's not translating into better service to the customers, and that's what it's really supposed to be about. Not to generate a lot of PR because you use social media. Yeah, I think
right.
That's a good point. But she's also talking about how social media tools don't have the power to magically transform legions of apathetic employees and clock punchers into avid brand enthusiasts devoted to doing the best job possible 24/7 because it's personally meaningful to them. And I think what she's saying here is just because you slap up a social media account and you broadcast it all over the world, you get a lot of nice PR out of it, and you get people singing your praises for how you're using social media. If you've got an employee in place, and we've talked about this, Wes, somebody who's not necessarily either a social person or maybe they just don't like people in general, or maybe they're one of those types that's they view their job as just a job, and it's not something they're totally enthusiastic about. Putting social media in their face and asking them to use it as a tool
right. Is
just going to have you express the fact that that person's either not a social person or they just view their job as a job. And I think it's a testament to how the true reality of who you are comes out through social media over time. If you got a grumpy employee today, they may enjoy social media for a month or two, but eventually it's going to get back to it's a grind. They're not really in a position they're happy about, and that's going to come through to your customers and the people who follow you and so forth. So social media is not a, as we often say, it's not a silver bullet. It's not a magic bean. It's not the end-all, be-all tool. And it
speaking
is
of employees.
That. It's a tool.
Was I reading this, or did you talk about it? I think I was reading a lady I think she was in Canada. She's been on disability or whatever for a year for depression. and her benefits were canceled because of Facebook. She had all kind of happy pictures. She's at a Chippendales concert, and she's like, "What's up?" And they said, "Well, you look happy. You don't look depressed anymore." She says, "Oh, my doctor told me to go out and try to have fun."
Wow.
So careful what you put out there. So I'm looking at Mashable right now for Adam Lambert. Man, top story. Actually,
yeah.
Go to Mashable.com's top story. Adam Lambert booted from Good Morning America. Twitter responds with hashtag shame on you, ABC. 508 tweets, 31 shares, 28 digs. How interesting. So we'll see what this
does.
Yeah,
that's
you know,
another thing. I had a local girl come to me and say that she wanted to get into some similar stuff to what I'm into. And I asked her, I said, "Well, what types of things do you have to use to market yourself?" And she said, "Well, I think that my MySpace or Facebook accounts are going to harm me because I got some kind of racy pictures out there." I mean, she's not showing anything nude, but she's a party girl and kind of a wild child. And I told her, I said, "Yeah, those will definitely come back to bite you in the rear end when you go on job interviews and you're trying to present yourself as a top flight professional and you want to get in at the executive level. People are going to see that stuff, and like it or not, they are going to make a judgment, probably not in your favor, as to whether to hire you based on what they see on your Facebook, MySpace, all these other different social media accounts. So you do have to be careful that you don't put too much out there. If you do that, then it can come back to hurt you." And just like this whole situation with him, you know, he's done some stuff, and now social media is talking about it, and it's not a positive thing. And
right.
You do something, and people capture it. I mean, everybody's got a cell phone that can capture pictures. A lot of them will capture video, little short videos. And just think of how rapidly somebody can take something, especially for somebody who's in the public eye already, prop that up there on their Facebook or MySpace or YouTube or whatever. Think how quickly that you can go from just doing something that you think is innocent, fun, or, you know, you're out on the town sowing your wild oats, and somebody captures that, and you are either in the public eye or maybe you're running for office or whatever it may
ask
be.
Ask Michael Phelps how much that bong hit cost him.
Exactly, exactly. And look how quick that spread.
It's
how long did that take
world.
To spread?
Well, yeah, I mean, people need to wake up. You got cameras everywhere. Look how often somebody, a crime is committed. You know, they got cameras from the gas station across the corner. And, I mean, just
right.
There's cameras everywhere. So, hey, welcome to the new world.
Right.
When did you read about Hootsuite? They now have support for Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter lists.
Very cool.
Very cool.
And, Hoot's dropping it down.
Hoot's throwing it down. They're bringing it real, brother. You know, so it just makes it easier, right? I mean, it's I had already duct taped and paper clipped, you know, a solution from my blog to FeedBurner to Hootsuite to Ping FM to everything else. So, you know, this will just start making it easier to get the word out there. And you can see, you know, who the gorillas are. And so obviously Hootsuite is coming out ahead as far as the aggregators, you know, for the tools. And, of course, it always updates Twitter. But, you know, you see LinkedIn, you see Facebook. So if you haven't used Hootsuite, check it out. If you've been wondering how to connect everything, you know, look into Hootsuite. It's a free tool. Just don't create that infinite loop, man.
Mm-hmm.
Could cause
you won't have to know a whole bunch of Java Perl after a while.
I can't be learning all that fancy stuff, brother.
It does take a lot of time, and that's one of the things I know you and I talk about, not on the podcast, but we talk about it just one-on-one, that we've got to get out of this technological suck, this time suck of learning all the fancy behind-the-scenes technical garbage. It's not garbage, but technical how-tos and how to do different things through technology, and it really does eat a lot of time, and you're a lot better off if you're not a super technical person, which we happen to be pretty technical people. So imagine the struggles we face, and we're technically inclined, versus the person who really isn't technically inclined that is still going to try to go it alone.
Right.
And you're talking about a considerable amount of time just to get all these different social media sites to talk to one another, to get your blog humming the way you want. And I mean, it takes some considerable time. And I know I'm trying to get myself out of the graphic design business, because while I enjoy it and I can crank out pretty good graphics, it just simply takes too much of my time that could be better spent working on the business and creating products and services that people will buy, versus coming out with a fancy graphic that has a nice shadow and uses colors that pop and complement one another and all that nonsense that goes into it. That it's just, yeah, I enjoy it, but it's not a good use of my time.
Yeah, focus on what you're good at.
Right.
Outsource the rest.
Yeah, because who wants a bunch of mediocre weaknesses or strong weaknesses? That's not going to do you any good over the long haul.
What I'm talking about, brother.
I mean, that's something else. I had this conversation with somebody the other day. I said, just because you are good at something doesn't necessarily mean it is a good use of your time. Like I just mentioned with the graphics, I've gotten to the point where I'm pretty good at it, but I have some passion for graphics, but it's not my main passion. It's not something that I am naturally good at that I'm fast at too. So let's say, for instance, you're really good with graphics, and it just comes naturally to you to where you can spit stuff out in 5 minutes that it takes somebody else an hour and a half, and you also have a passion about it. That's what you want to go for. Things that you have a passion for, that you're strong at, but that you're naturally good at, that other people struggle with. And I think
I tell you, it's nice hopping on Skype or, you know, email and just emailing Anna. Saying, hey, can you add some code here, do this, you know?
Yeah.
You know, she's downloading themes for me now, or uploading them. Downloading them and then uploading them to 5 new websites I'm working on. And I've pushed over to Hostgator.
Right.
So things I don't have to do. You know,
right.
She knows how to do it. Boom, just knock it out.
Right.
You know, and then I'll start throwing the content up.
Yeah, she's doing the same thing for me. And I know we use the same girl to do a lot of our web behind-the-scenes stuff, and she's really quick with this, and I think it is something that she's naturally good at, because, I mean, I think I just sent her the request last Thursday, maybe, and yesterday she had a prototype for the website already done, uploaded, configured, it looks the way I want it to look. That would have taken me, if I had started last Thursday, I would have worked probably 10 hours each day between Thursday and Monday, and I still wouldn't have done what she had done. And even though, yeah, I'm good at that stuff and everything else, it just takes so much time because I'm not a natural at that. I'm not a Java Perl expert. I'm not a scripting expert. Even though I like that stuff, it's just not a good use of my time. And I think that a lot of people look at they work a 9-to-5 and they're good at a particular function, and they think that they can go start a business in that particular function, and then they come to realize, you know, I really don't like this as much as I thought I did. Everybody's told me I'm good at it. Like for me, growing up, I was always good with computers. So everybody told me I should get into computers. I'm really good with that stuff. I did that for 10 years, and man, I hated it. I dreaded every day of work because, yeah, I might have been good at it. I didn't have the passion that I needed to really thrive at that job. I was a terrible employee because I didn't like the fact that, you know, I just was working 9-to-5 because somebody else determined those were good hours to work. I mean, those weren't the best hours for me. I'm more of a night owl. But I also, my personality clashes with a lot of the tech support guys because they would rather be in the cold white room with no windows cranking out code all day, whereas I'd rather be out socializing with people, drinking beer, having fun, cutting up, talking about big picture stuff as opposed to the latest router that'll push through 8 MIPS per second or 25,000 MIPS per second. I don't care. That just, it doesn't push my buttons where it does those people. So there's a lot of clash there too. But back to the point, a lot of people start businesses just because they are good at a particular function, but they're not passionate about it, and it's not something that they're just naturally good at. It's people have told them, hey, you're good at this, but it's not something that they're so good at that it's a natural.
So Shannon just came in. She's showing me a house we might move into. You know, our wonderful landlord where we lived for 5 years is getting foreclosed. I always tell her, best investment I ever made was not buying when I moved to California in December of 2004.
Probably was, yeah.
Oh, literally. I mean, this place is imploding, man. It's a ghost town out here.
Yeah.
Kind of sad to see, really. But people got greedy.
Yeah.
It's amazing what you can see online and track. You know, it's a great example of Web 2.0 technology. This house has two showers, man. Well, if we move into it, I'll do one of our southern social medias. We'll do it with a video camera with me from the shower. What do you think about that?
Let's pass on that one.
That's a double shower, brother. I mean, ain't just any shower.
People don't need to be seeing that.
I'll do cannonballs. I'll wear my little Speedo, you know. They're mandatory. When you move to California, they stop you at the border and they hand you this little banana hammock you got to wear. Kind of used to it now. I used to chafe a little bit, but I'm all good now. So, cool looking house. All right. So what else you got on your agenda, brother?
Well, we keep telling people we're going to talk about 15 ways PR agencies can help companies with social media. So let's jump into some of these things. We won't go over all 15 because that'll take quite a bit of time.
Right.
But they talk about how agencies can help you with your social media campaign and get you some PR. Well, we just talked about Comcast and how that's been a great PR tool for them, even though the underlying customer service may not have come up to snuff as much as maybe their reporting or maybe the publicity indicates. I mean, I still think it's a good endeavor for them to use Twitter to perform some customer service tasks because they can offload some of their calls to their call center, which will save them money. They can address problems real time as opposed to waiting for somebody to call, because a lot of times people will complain about something through social media before they actually pick up the phone and log a call with your organization. So if you can get to that person in the early phases before they really get ticked off and frustrated to the point where they're going to go tell the world that they're not happy with your organization.
Well, we're about to see that. I had subscribed to a very big name, and her little social media club, you know, see what she was up to, and it wasn't that good, and it wasn't that expensive, so I canceled. Took multiple emails and finally a call just to get my subscription canceled, and I still haven't gotten refunded. So I'm going to give them another week, and that'll start getting posted. You know, but the other campaign I'm firing up, man, we had our administrative hearing over the phone with some pseudo-private entity that the city or the county or nobody really knows that they've outsourced to. Remember I was talking about this $100 parking ticket my wife and I got at the kids' park, I don't know, 5 weeks ago? $100, right? They got a sign that says, park hours are sunrise to sunset. And then it says no vehicle on grounds. Okay? So what does that tell you? If it says no vehicle on grounds, and it's in the parking lot, do you think then grounds includes the parking lot, or grounds means the grassy area by the slides and everything else?
That's what I would assume, is the grassy area and everything else. I mean, if you've got a parking lot sitting there.
Obviously, right, because if you can pull in and park in front of that sign, and that sign says no vehicles on grounds, then the parking lot must not be the park.
Right.
Right?
That's what I would assume, yeah.
That's what we assume. and then it says park hours, sunrise, sunset. So we had two vehicles. We went for a little friend's birthday party. My wife didn't see well at night, so we left one vehicle to go to another friend's that was nearby, and we said, we'll just come back and get it. You know, and it says, well, park hours or sunrise, sunset, but it said, didn't say no parking after dark.
Right.
So this lady says no. You know, denied. So, fight's on, brother. We're going to see. We're going to see how well the city of Murrieta, the county of Riverside, and this, my wife took my notes. I'm going to look them up real quick while we're going. I'm hot, brother. So, we're going to see some social media at work. I'm going to rise up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to take it no more.
So this will be the first example. So I sent it to my city councilman that I know. He said, let him know what goes on. So there's a woman. You're going to be famous, woman. Thought you had some government job and you could be obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Julie Robbins works for the Citation Processing Center, and Bill Fleming is her boss. She ruled against us, and we said, all right, what's the procedure to appeal this? Oh, you just have to call back. I'm like, no, what's the procedure? Well, I've got another call. What's the procedure? Well, you need to talk to my supervisor. Who's your supervisor? I already told you his name four times. You must not be listening. My wife and I had her on speakerphone.
Wow.
We're like, what? She finally says the names. I said it four times. My wife and I look at each other like, are you smoking dope, woman? You know? And then she hangs up. So this call is over. Click. So as soon as we hang up on this call, I'm making a video about this woman, and it's going on YouTube.
Very
Facebook,
good.
And everywhere else.
Excellent.
$100 parking ticket.
I would be surprised if you're dealing with someone who is a nice-looking, thin, pretty much.
Don't go there. You're going to get us in trouble.
Well, I would just be surprised. I would be surprised.
Let the record show that Wes did not make that comment.
Yeah, Roger made that comment, and I stand by it because I'm just going out on a limb that people like that just tend to be, I mean, they're unhappy
now,
with their life
Wes
as it is.
No, Wes is not denying that comment. He just didn't say it.
Well, after it's all said and done, then we can have a powwow about our true thoughts then. How's that?
There you go.
Once it's ultimately decided. But anyway, this article is talking about, this is also on social media today, and this is from a week ago by Dave Fleet. He's talking about 15 ways PR agencies can help companies with social media. The first one is getting started. He talks about baseline audits, and we talk about that quite a bit with the whole strategy of social media. You have to have something to compare back to, and an agency can help you with that because they can come in and say, okay, let's look at everything that you do to either generate traffic to your website, your store, whatever it may be, and let's see how we can improve the numbers from where you are today. And
right.
You should be doing this whether you have a PR agency involved or not. You should know what your metrics are today based on your current marketing activities, so that way you can see, is social media adding benefit to your bottom line? And if so, you know, how many more visitors are you getting to your website? How many more mentions are you getting? In other words, word of mouth spread through social media. He also talks about audience research. Well, this is something else you should do at the beginning of a campaign anyway. There's so many tools out there now. You can go to Quantcast and compare your top five competitors online and see what their demographics are to each one of those sites, provided that the site is gets enough traffic for Quantcast to be able to track it. But you can get a lot of very good demographic data just based on that. So you can do a lot of audience research just through online tools based on, I mean, you can do it based on Facebook if you're going to target Facebook as a primary social media site. You can do it for Twitter. I mean, they've got stats on the demographics of each one of these sites. But you can take it further than that. You can take your top five competitors online, plug it into Quantcast, see what the demographics are, crank out a spreadsheet to where you can get the average of those, and you can have a pretty good picture of who your ideal target audience is or who your competitors are targeting. You can figure that out through that. I also talk about corporate policies. whether your company's engaged in social media or not, it's important to set boundaries around social media. And I think that you can take that a step further. Not only set boundaries around social media, but I think you need to do an internal audit of sorts to figure out who would be good with utilizing social media. Because if you put, we've mentioned it before, Wes, you put the hermit online and force them to try to be a social being, you're going to get somebody like you're dealing with your little local government office there. You're going to get somebody who probably shouldn't be dealing with the public on a regular basis and telling people, I just told you four times, are you deaf, you know, things like that. You don't want to put those type of people in customer-facing positions. And
yeah.
It's the same thing with social media. You don't want to put, I'll get colorful here, you don't want to put a bitch in a position to be talking to people on a regular basis because her bitchiness is going to come out. You don't want to put a jackass in there either who's
well,
no matter
it doesn't
the world.
Matter with the government, and that's what, you know, it's funny. What Barack Obama used so well to get elected could very well be his downfall,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's social media.
Right.
Because word is getting out, you know, and it's a good thing. The government has been far too wasteful for far too long. And has had too much power, too much control, too many things could go on behind the scenes. You know, now you hear things, though, like Mary Landrieu getting paid, you know, or pulling in $300 million for her district or her state,
oh, yeah.
basically,
yeah.
Because for her vote. So
right.
things like this, man, you know, Obama promised transparency and then, you know, 72 hours to read a bill and all that starts to go away. And, man, that's going to propagate like wildfire now. So he better be careful. You know, what he used to his advantage could end up biting him in the butt.
Right. And I think, but like you say, Wes, that's a good thing. I mean, we're going to find out stuff now that we couldn't find out even 5 years ago.
Right.
I mean, if somebody comes out and tells you publicly, I'm going to do this, this, and this, well, there's people that are going to tune in and watch. If you promise
yep.
people that you're going to do, you know, five things and you do four of the five things, people are going to call you on, where's that fifth thing? You promised
yep.
us this too. You didn't do it. And
yep.
it's the same thing with the new FTC regulations on these testimonials. Well, there's a lot of shysters out there that have made up bogus testimonials. Well, this is going to bring a lot of that to the forefront because,
right.
yeah, it may not make its way through social media immediately. But it will. I mean, we can look at the whole Perry Belcher case and hammer that over and over and over. That's a prime example of here's somebody who promised they were going to show you how to grow your business through social media. It didn't work, and it took a matter of about a month for everybody to find out.
Right.
So, I mean, it cuts both ways, and I had a blog post about that, you know, yeah, it can do a lot of positive for your business, but it can do a lot of negative if your house isn't in order and you don't have everything.
It's going to help me get the word out of how I'm now 9-2 in my fantasy football league. You hear
that
me?
Too. That's right.
You
and
heard
I'm
me,
hoping,
baby?
I'm hoping my push with the social media is going to help get Steve Kragthorpe relieved of his football coaching position with my football team next Monday at 3 o'clock Eastern. I hope to God we are having a press conference. And as soon as I hear the words, we are going in a different direction with our football program from a head coaching perspective, the beer will open right then, celebration will commence because that will be just a grand day in Roger Bauer's world because I absolutely hate our football coach. And I say that with, yes, I know hate's a strong word, but I hate everything the guy stands for. He's come in and wrecked our program and he's been mugged throughout.
All right.
I'll get on
All
my
right.
rampage, but I can go
I
on and on and on about that clown.
I know.
But I hope social media has helped them.
But I want to throw one thing out there to folks that may be new or maybe have not started monetizing their websites. If you're using WordPress, which is what you and I use predominantly, don't be afraid to use the widgets. Go get some banner ads. You can become an affiliate for free for probably millions of businesses out there, certainly the big guys. You can become an affiliate of Roger and me. It's free to sign up. We give you banner ads and whatnot, the HTML code, even emails for you. But throw some banners on your website. I'm looking at some nice WordPress themes that are made, you know, with nice little ads. You can plug in Google AdSense. You can plug in, oh, I got Google AdSense straightened out. I'll talk about that tomorrow if you remind me. Man, that was some work. AllForWordsPress.com, they've got some nice little 125 by 125 placements. Blixkrieg, B-L-I-X-K-R-I-E-G. Nice little theme for monetizing. And while you can overdo it, you know, look at the big guys. Look at John Chow. I mean, they got ads everywhere. You know, look at radio personalities or whatever. You know, Bill O'Reilly. I look at, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck. Those dudes have some crazy ads all over their site. I think they almost overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the nice thing is when you're a destination site, you can throw that stuff up there. You know, so when you're beginning, you need more content than ads. But put some ads up there. You know, make your content good and easy to find, but put some ads up there. And and they'll start to pay off.
Well, that's something else to tie in with that, and that's a good point, is if you go find some affiliate programs to promote, such as the things that you and I sell people with, we pay a nice commission out of that. But if you contrast that, let's say you have a blog that doesn't get a whole lot of traffic and you've got a bunch of AdSense everywhere, you're not going to make a lot of money off of that. I mean, you read a lot of these stories of these guys that make thousands every month off of AdSense. They're getting a lot of traffic. I mean, lot of traffic. We're talking 10,000 or more visitors per month.
Sure.
Some of them are getting even, you know, hundreds of thousands of visitors a month, so it reasons that a little bit of a lot still adds up to a pretty big number. Well,
sure.
Contrast that with an affiliate program that gives you banners and everything else that pays you $30-$40 a sale. You don't need that many clicks to make the same amount of money you would with one of those blogs that's getting 10,000 or more visitors, getting a little 1 cent here, 2 cents here per click. Now, all it takes is one sale and you're making decent money off your blog. You get one sale off of each one of your banners. If you got four or five banners, you make a few $100 a month. You're
right.
Not going to make it with Google AdSense. There's just the money isn't there anymore because they've tweaked everything down so much. And, I mean, you have to have a behemoth in terms of traffic and popularity and search rankings and all of that to really make a lot of money off AdSense. So
right.
That the affiliate model could be a very good way to go, or you could look into CPA networks. There's a lot of CPA networks that are very similar to, which CPA is just cost per action, very similar to an affiliate program. That might be the way you want to go to monetize your blog in the early stages. And then if you do get to the point where you've got so much traffic, I would still have affiliate banners on there, especially if you're getting 10,000 visitors a month, because then you can make some serious money with your blog if you find an offer, let's say, that's going to pay you $30 per sale.
Yeah.
Well, if you generate 1,000 sales, I mean, do the math.
Yep. It's true.
So there's a couple ways
Very
to monetize
nice.
Your blog, which says people don't view blogs as a social media or a social medium, but they truly are. I mean, that's the most overlooked.
Who doesn't view? Who's that?
There's a lot of people who don't. They think blogs are websites, or they think that they're just, you know.
So funny. I think blogs basically led the Web 2.0 evolution.
Oh, indeed. But I think people don't view Amazon as a social type site, but it truly is because you can interact. You can rate things. You can vote on them by doing the little star thing, and you can share your opinions. You can respond to other people, and I mean, it's a social media. You can post a video on there. I mean, Amazon's got some social interaction. It's very Web 2.0-ish in that. But I think people overlook blogs because they've been around the longest of the social media outlets that people don't even really consider them as much of a social media type thing, but they truly are.
Yep.
And we probably should talk a lot more about WordPress and things you can do with it because there's so many plugins.
Right.
Many third-party free plugins that you can put on your blog that do a lot of really cool stuff. And, you know, it used to be there was probably 6 or 7 plugins that I just had to have on a blog. Now it's probably up to 15, 20.
Right.
and they all do different things, and it's all really cool stuff. I mean, just like that little tweet may up at the top to where you can tweet your blog post.
Yep.
I mean, little thing like that makes your blog post very viral. It's simple to just install it on there.
Yep.
It'll do the rest for you.
Yep. Well.
Well, we didn't talk as much about the whole PR stuff, but I think there's some different things that PR agencies can do to help you with this. But I'll say that with a caveat is there are a lot of advertising and PR agencies that haven't figured this social media thing out. And the way you can tell that is how are they utilizing social media to generate brand awareness for their own firm? How are they monetizing their social media campaigns? And if they're not eating their own dog food, so to speak, then chances are they're not going to be able to guide you very well either.
Yep.
And there's far fewer that really have figured this out than those that have figured it out. So just be careful if you're going to engage with the – and I'm not bad-mouthing ad agencies or PR agencies, but it's like anything else. You got to be careful of who you get into bed with because anybody can figure out how to win the popularity contest. That's common sense. But it's the ones who can help you monetize once you have increased your popularity and generated some awareness for your firm. Those are the ones you want to align with as much as possible.
Right.
See what they do and then see if it makes sense for your business. If it does, you know, hit the person up. I mean, don't be afraid to reach out and talk to some of these people. Even if you don't ultimately hire them, they'll still talk to you about some of the stuff they're doing. They're not going to give away all the milk when they're trying to sell the cow, but they'll give you some stuff.
Yep. All right. You ready for the concluding joke of the day?
I am.
We got just some money to go make, so. This is Southern Social Media, and we are some high-tech folks, right? So I figure I'd leave folks with a couple of couple of terms, you know, technologically speaking, you know, because you've got all types of different drives, right? And you've heard of a SCSI drive, right?
Oh, yeah.
SCSI. But in our terms, you know, that's what you call your week-old underwear. That's a SCSI. And then, you know, we've got parallel ports now, and that kind of speeds up the transmission of data. Right. Besides them old serial ports, people always were confusing those. A serial port, that's a glass of wine that you drink for breakfast. Get it?
Oh, yeah.
Get it? Cereal? Cereal? Like eat breakfast cereal? Port? Bubba's saying, what the hell's a port? That's some good wine right there, brother. All right. You need one more? Is that what you said?
Yeah, bring one more. Let's have it.
So you've got a keyboard, right? I mean, you need that to type and all. But Bubba, you know, the keyboard, that's where he hangs the keys to his John Deere tractor. It's up on the keyboard. You don't like that? Come on now.
Bubba. Bubba gets a bad rap on here.
Bubba's pretty dang smart.
Well, Bubba, he gets a bad rap. I mean, we're always we're hacking on Bubba all the time.
Bubba's just misunderstood. All right. So what do you have to give away this week, brother? What do you want people to go do?
Go visit listsamurai.com. Like I mentioned yesterday, the e-book is up to 126 pages, and it's a little more than I wanted it to be, but there's a lot of good stuff in there to share, and I'm adding more stuff to it that is not going to be available for free. If anything beyond this 126-page mark is going to go into a paid product, and I have visions that this thing is going to near 300 pages when it's all said and done, so it's going to be a substantial ebook, how-to resource, so forth, on how to build a list.
Right.
And the premise is generate 1,000 qualified leads in a week or less. So if you go to listsamurai.com, you can get the ebook in its current rendition. And I mentioned yesterday that I'm going to scale that back, the free offer, to probably a 15 to 20 page report. And then if you want to get a hold of the ebook content, you're going to have to pay for, I don't know how much I'm going to charge for it. It's not going to be outrageous, but still, you're going to have to pay for the 300-page colossal resource. So listsamurai.com.
Colossal.
Colossal. Monumental.
Man.
Majestic, if you will.
Colossal. Is that what you get when you go to that? That was that. I had that doctor. He checked my colossal once. I'm not going back to that guy. Man, cold hands. Whew. All right. And then I'm working on a few sites, but for now, check out thesaleswhisper.com, baby. Facebook Basics, 20.1 Facebook Business Basics, as well as 7 Superstar Sales Success Secrets. It's all yours for free. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Sign up and get it while you can. So, this is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, Roger Bauer, Social Media Ninja, calling it a wrap for 2 days before Thanksgiving, 24th of November, 2009. Cue music.
See y'all tomorrow.
Bye.